Murjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The Dodgers won. The Kings won. Things are looking up in Los Angeles. And now Sam Nation is on. And here we go. 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now we have a few minutes here before the start of the hour. We'll be on after 8 o'clock as well. So I don't have my usual opening monologue to get into the meaty issue of the day. So I'm gonna carry through after the 8 o'clock hour. But here's the straight scoop on Senator Flake's retirement party today on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Everybody wants to make this out as some tremendously virtuous, eloquent, beautiful, and high-minded speech. And what bothers me is that it's none of the above. Well, it might be high-minded. We got lectured. This is what happened, if you've missed it. Jeff Flake, the junior senator from Arizona, who's a longtime congressman, first-term senator, announced today that he would not be seeking re-election in 2018. He was elected back in 2012 for first term in the Senate. He's someone who, from the absolute get-go, was an anti-Trumpist. From the beginning. He actually bailed on the he bailed on any efforts to go to the convention, didn't go to the convention, he bailed on the inauguration. This guy's resisted Trump from the beginning, establishment guy, and now this speech was condemnation of the political climate, the condemnation of Trump's vulgarity. What it is it's at the end of the day, it's pettiness that's masquerading as virtue, because this is a guy who actually, believe it or not, has no real tremendous interest in. Why don't we listen to his own words? And you guys, are we all good here as far as what's going on? OK, good. So sorry, I had to talk to producer Robbie, who was back. He was off yesterday. Happy to have him back, back in the studio. So here's a clip. I don't want to play the entire speech. I think it's about 17 minutes. He read it. He just read it. Somebody wrote it for him. He read it on the floor. But here is a snippet of his pointed criticism of Trump. It's not very subtle. I think you'll pick out right away what it is that he's trying to get across. Senator Jeff Flake today on the floor of the Senate.
Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused and countenanced as telling it like it is, when it is actually just reckless, outrageous, and undignified. The notion that one should stay silent as the norms and values that keep America strong are undermined, and as the alliances and agreements that ensure the stability of the entire world are routinely threatened by the level of thought that goes into 140 characters. The notion that we should say or do nothing in the face of such mercurial behavior is ahistoric and, I believe, profoundly misguided.
And, of course, by implication, he is the one who is not idly standing by. He is the one that is taking the high road and opposing Trump and opposing Trumpism and opposing everything that he needs to do, that he needs to have happen. And I'll tell you, the undermining the alliances and agreements that ensure the stability of the entire world. Well, this, what he's referring to, of course, are things like maybe the Iran nuclear deal or NAFTA, both of which are up for grabs, up for discussion, and they're up for discussion because the voters at the end of the day want some change. So when I come back, I want to figure out what we're going to get through this. Okay, I'm going to give you some of the additional clips because Corker too, he's a Republican senator from Tennessee, also another guy who is out. who is not running for re-election. I'm going to tell you what he did, how he criticized Trump. And we're going to go through some of the Republican responses to it, which I think are interesting, too, because the other Republicans do not want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. It's just these three bozos. It's Flake from Arizona, Corker from Tennessee, and it's the other Republican senator from Arizona, who is, of course, the one and only John McCain. It's, the three Mouseketeers. But nothing about their protests of Trump is high-minded. It's or noble or virtuous. These are politicians who, by virtue of their unpopular positions, have become unelectable. That's not Trump's fault. It isn't. If anything, the climate that brought Trump to elected office is why they have been left behind. Let me put it another way. People have had enough. They've had enough of politicians going to Congress, okay, and doing nothing. When this guy right now who's lecturing all of us about how great he is, about how super he is, about how high, better than Trump he is, better than all of us that voted for Trump, better than, you know, all this lecturing. When we look at this, I got to say something. He used to be a conservative guy when he was in Congress. You know that he had 100% score. Let me see this. I got to make sure I got this fact. So, no, he was, there's a group, the Club for Growth. He had 100% score. Yeah, this is right. As soon as he got in the Senate in 2012, he's actually below Mitch McConnell now. I'm looking at the list. He's in the 50s. Below Mitch McConnell, the Club for Growth being a group that supports politicians who do things that stimulate the economy, grow the economy. So he's a conservative guy in the House, popular, gets reelected over and over and over again, goes to the Senate. And I want to do next segment when I have a little more time. I want to, at the top of the hour, explain to you why, when he got to the Senate, he changed, because he gets into the Senate. Now, I'll just give you some of the changes in positions that he had. Yeah, he joined the Gang of Eight. Remember this? This is the amnesty group. The Gang of Eight, four Republican senators joined with the Democrats to form bipartisan immigration reform. He stopped all Obamacare defunding efforts. Voted repeatedly for debt ceiling increases, pushed gun control. Guys, this is very simple. Arizona is a state that doesn't like illegal immigration, is very pro-business. They like their guns. I mean, this isn't even a discussion of what issue is right or wrong. This is simply, this is political horse trading. This doesn't work. You're trying to run a guy who is establishment, center left, if anything, Republican, in a state that's center right. It doesn't work. He no longer fit the bill of the state that he was running from. So now he's out, but he's blaming it on Trump, and it's so disingenuous. And the media, the best part about it is the media, because they are using him. They are taking him and running with it and using him as a prop in their fight against Trump. So we're going to get into a little bit of that great stuff today on CNN. So at any rate, lots of stuff going on. Oh, by the way, interestingly, you know, Flake's popularity rating. You know what his approval numbers are right now in Arizona? 18%. And this is, so there's no way, there's absolutely no way he would have had a primary challenger. He would have had, there's actually a Democrat running this time around who might be very popular. So he could, as a center-left Republican, there's a risk that you run of losing in a state like this to a conservative Democrat. It's actually possible. But nobody gets up when they've been beat. Nobody gets up and says, you know what, it's my own dang fault. It's my problem. You know what? I didn't listen to the people. Instead, a lot of these politicians, and this is how tone deaf they are, the position that they adopt, the tone that they take is, you know what, people? You guys, pointing a finger at us, you know, the voters, you guys don't get it. Because that's what this was. This was we the people getting lectured by the elite. They're telling us how we should be thinking and who we should like. And this whole talk about debasing the culture in America, debasing our political discourse, lowering it, vulgarizing it. This is not the issue. The issues are the issue. And it's the issues where the American people, certainly the good people of Arizona, have had it with their senator. So, all right, we're going to get into all of this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We got John Wolfe up next with the news, and we'll be back right after that. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
And welcome to the program, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Successful day in Los Angeles sports. The Dodgers win. So do the Kings. One season is ending. Another is beginning. What can I say? I almost feel like I need a deep philosophical statement related to this, but I have none. In other news, a giant political earthquake of nothing happened in Washington, D.C. And I say of nothing because this entire controversy about Jeff Flake retiring from the U.S. Senate is man-made. It was 100% foreseeable. Look, people don't run. You got to understand something. Politicians do not run when they truly believe they have no chance of winning. They don't. And can I tell you why? It's actually a decision that isn't made by the candidate. It's a decision made for the candidate by the people that have the money. Elections are expensive. Local elections even are expensive. You know, a congressional run. Just talking to my brother-in-law, who's going to be running actually for Congress in Utah. And it's about a $3 million race in Salt Lake City. Just to give you an idea, that's just a congressional run in a small district in a cheap media market. Now, Arizona, you may think, oh, well, Arizona's not big. It's actually expensive to advertise. They're fairly expensive in the metro areas. So elections, statewide elections, cost a lot of money. My point being, the people that have the power of the purse, the guys that are writing, and gals, that are writing the checks, well, look at a guy who's at 18 frickin' percent, okay, polling at 18%, is less popular than O.J. Simpson in Arizona. My guess, I didn't do an official survey, I'm just saying it's possible. And there it is. And they're saying, no, I'm not going to cut you a check. And as soon as you got people that aren't cutting you checks, then you're done. And that's it. Now, when that happens, it is totally normal. It is totally human for human beings to be pissy. Yeah, of course it is. Because you know what? You probably think, when you are a senator, by the way, you think you're pretty hot, you know what? You think you're hot. You go into when you're in the Senate and you're in Senate office buildings, you know, you get to ride the special elevators that say senators only. That's true. And then you go to the gym where you're senators only and you get to ride a little train under the. Have you ever been to D.C.? You know, they got these little trains that run under between the Capitol building and the different office buildings. You get to ride a little train. You get priority. Everything's all senator so-and-so. Yeah, Senator Murkowski, what do you think? Senator Murkowski? No, I'm just joking. There's no announcements here. These people go and they become very self-important. I promise to you I would explain why a guy who is running, who, no, not ran multiple terms for Congress, okay, as a House of Representatives member in Arizona, very conservative guy, had a conservative track record and got repeatedly reelected. Why he can't get reelected now, which is because he became a liberal. Why? Why did it happen? I have a theory. Want me to share it with you? Okay. I think it's very easy in the Senate to get suckered by decorum. And decorum really isn't about decorum. Decorum is about accommodation. You know how greatest art in the world, I think, when you're dealing with people, is how to tell somebody to go screw off, but at the same time being nice about it. It is not a talent that most human beings have. I, for one, do not have it. Because usually when I tell you to go buzz off, it leaves people with hurt feelings. So I'm not good at it. But I occasionally run into somebody who is. But not everybody in politics is an accomplished politician. And it's a key thing. And when you're a junior guy that goes into the Senate, you have a choice. Do you get a seat at the table? Do you get to play with the big boys, to hang out with Bobby Corker and John McCain and be one of the boys or gals, whatever, hang out with the senator in the senator club, be invited to backgammon games and cocktail party hour, whatever it is? Or do you become an A money money hole like, Ted Cruz, who everyone hates? Nobody wants to talk to, or Rand Paul. You think Rand Paul gets invited to the Mahjong parties, the late night senatorial card games? There's no way. Why? Well, because it's easy. He's principled. I mean, Rand Paul's principled, and he doesn't give a rat's rear end if you like him or not. Doesn't care. Only thing Rand Paul cares about is being right, and he's going to do it. Now, you and I, we value principled people, and at the time, this is a great point, too. Thank you for reminding me. Every campaign I have ever witnessed, seen, heard of, been advertised to of... I'm not explaining this right. You understand. Any campaign out there, do you think there's ever one that says, hey, I'm not principled. As a matter of fact, I'm very flexible. I want your vote because I'm going to go to the Senate. I'm going to go to be president. I'm going to go to Congress. I'm just going to change my position willy-nilly. No. Every politician says when they run for office, I'm principled. And you and I, we're the world's biggest suckers, right? I always talk about this. We send them their money. We go, oh, good, they're going to... Okay, let me check the list. They're going to lower my taxes. They're going to stop illegal immigration. Okay? They're going to reduce regulation. Okay? They're going to let me, they're going to let me keep my guns. You start going through the list of things that, that matter. Yeah, guns are on the list. Of course they are. We're in California, but freaking, we're letting everybody out of jail. Neighborhoods are crawling with predators, burglars, and the like. Of course, matters. So these are the things that matter, and everybody promises that this is what's going to happen. And Flake was one of the people that went in, and he promised all those things, and then delivered literally on none of them. I gave some of the examples just in our last quickie segment about what some of the ways that he failed voters in Arizona. Gun control, he was on board with gun control. He was on board with immigration reform, which is, when it comes out of the mouth of Chuck Schumer, that's amnesty, right? Him and Lindsey Graham. Frickin' A. Yeah, this is why, by the way, today Chuck Schumer released a statement saying that Jeff Flake will be missed. Yeah, you know what? If Chucky Schumer is missing a GOP senator, thanks, but no thanks, pal. You hit the road. Adios, amigos. And so, look, the Democratic media is going to run to Flake. They're going to run to Corker. They're going to run to McCain. And they're going to use these guys as examples. They're complaining about Trump, and they're complaining about the Republican Party, and they're complaining about the current political climate. And they're going to go to that and they're going to use it, and they're going to use it to show us all what a debased, vulgar, horrible country we're becoming. When the real story is that we as Americans, many of us, in fact, at this point, I would say a majority, are sick and tired of being lectured to by the elites about what is important, what we ought to care about, and how much smarter and how much more knowledgeable they are about what we need to do in our lives. Because you know what? Building a wall might be a crude thing to say, but after years and years of just massive illegal immigration, nothing done about it, amnesty, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. You know what? Americans have had enough. We're kind of fed up. And I don't care about, you can take your decorum and you can put it in a pipe and smoke it. Just literally don't care. And it's an important point today as we're talking about this. I'm at the office. I said, you know, a lot of these guys, well, listen, here's Bob Corker. He had to chime in today, too, about Trump debasing our culture. And this was him on CNN. You know it's bad when the Republicans are running to CNN to whine about Trump. And here's what he said. Listen to this carefully.
He purposely is breaking down relationships we have around the world that have been useful to our nation. But I think at the end of the day, when his term is over, I think the debasing of our nation, the constant non-truth-telling, the name-calling, the things like, I think the debasement of our nation will be what he'll be remembered most for, and that's regretful.
That's regretful. The debasing of this nation. By the way, I'm just going to go back a little bit here. I played a clip just before the top of the hour of Jeff Flake, again mentioning the same thing about Trump breaking down relationships that we have all over the world. Let's talk about that for a second. Is it just me, or did we just spend 8 years crawling up the rear orifices of every country around the world, every tin-horn dictator crackpot, had Obama doing world tours of apology everywhere, all the time, 24/7, and what did it give us? Do you think anybody actually respected us? These are people are Flake and Corker are legit clowns. I mean, this is comedy. I mean, I know Kathy Griffin's not funny. These guys are funny. This is funny. They sat there on the Foreign Relations Committee and signed off on Obama's BS for 8 years, and now they're here going, oh, Trump. I mean, give me a break, you two. So I just had to get that out. But this entire idea of debasing our culture, what is it like? You know, these senators, they actually want an aristocrat in the White House. And that's their ideal. This is why Republicans never liked Reagan. I don't know if you're old enough to remember this. Reagan was not the Republican of choice of the Republican Party establishment. Do you know who was? George H.W. Bush. He was the aristocrat, the grand man of the Republican Party. This is a bit of history for you. If you were not around. So Reagan was not the, you know, Reagan, a lot of the things that are said about Trump were said about Reagan back there. And I know, and I sit down with Republicans all the time and they tell me, you know, if Trump would just be more like Reagan, I look at them and I go, you know what? Trump is the Reagan of our era, period. And he has delivered on more conservative promises than Bush and Bush combined. But they want senators, these old guys in the Senate and their little, boy toys, the Jeff Flakes of the world who come in and want to be like them, want to be the Bob Corkers. What happens is they want an aristocrat. You know why? Because it adds importance and it adds a loftiness and it adds prestige in their minds to their existence, to their positions. You know, in their view, they're like, wow, we got this president who's tweeting. And what does that do to the augustness of the Senate chamber where decorum. Yeah, that's the word, decorum. It is. And that's all this offense over the dignity of the office. The dignity of the office. How many times have you heard that? You know, I think that the and others I've talked to agree that the dignity of the office. You know, you had guys like Obama and even to some respects Bush who came in and took advantage of the dignity of office with their nonsense. We're supposed to respect the presidency, right? And yet in form and function did more to erode the trust of that office than many others before. But Bill Clinton, where are all the criticisms? Where was Wolfie Blitzer talking about Bill Clinton getting, you know, whatsies in the Oval Office from a young intern named Monica? No. I know it's not. It's too far back. The statute of limitations has expired on that criticism. No, I'm explaining to you how hollow these criticisms are. So when you want to look at this, at the current situation with Flake and the speech that he gave today, and when you hear how brave it was and how courageous he is to take a stand to this horrible, terrible, awful political climate and that evil dictator Trump, just remember, he's just a sad man that made his bed, you know, made his bed and has got to sleep in it. He went in on promises that he did not keep to his voters, and now standing no chance to get reelected. Okay, what does he do? He lashes out. Very, very immature, very disappointing, and kind of lame, frankly. Well, speaking of H.W. Bush, I gotta share this interesting story. He's in the news today, not in a good way. Former President Bush, up next, right after this. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Have you been following this Me Too hysteria on the internet? Social media, et cetera, hashtag Me Too, I should say. This, I'm wading into controversial waters here. I don't know how your Facebook feed looks. Mine, my personal Facebook that I never go on except to check in on some random people once in a while, see what they're up to. I open my Facebook and all of a sudden everybody's hashtagging Me Too. You know, all these women and even some men who I've gone to school with or know socially are posting their stories of being touched, harassed, or worse. And I think that a lot of these campaigns, these social media firestorms where everybody follows a big trend of something happening, it's just stupid. It's just dumb. I also don't like, I think we are still a country of laws and of some order. Innocent before proven guilty. These are some of these are big allegations that I have some of my friends lodging. And I know these people. And I'm not going to, okay, because I know them, because I know the people that are posting some of this stuff. Some of it I doubt. Like, some of it I think is truthful because I know the person and I go, wow, you know, that's probably happened. And then, you know, and then we all have friends who like to just be self-important and like to, or attention seeking and whatever it is that causes them to do weird stuff. And they're on Facebook going, ha, me too. And then posting things that this doesn't even sound real. My point is, these are things for juries, things for the police to decide, not for us, you and I, on social media to be bombarded with. Well, there is an actress. Let me see if I can get her name. Heather Lind. I have absolutely no idea who you are, Heather. None. And I get it. I'm over all the way down here in Orange County, so I live behind the orange curtain, not familiar with what goes on in the big city up north. But apparently Heather Lind was in an AMC series. Is that a channel? The AMC channel? Turn, Washington Spies. Now, I first read it Washington Spices. I got very excited. I thought that would sound like a cool show, but no, it's Washington Spies. Do any of you watch this? No? Robbie? People are shaking their heads in the studio. So, not familiar with it here. She claims, this actress, Heather Lind, and she did it just like some of my friends on Instagram. She put up a post saying how disturbed she was at watching President Barack Obama shaking hands with George H.W. Bush. Oh, do you see where it's going already? President Barack Obama shaking hands with George H.W. Bush. You know why she found it disturbing? Because while George H.W. Bush met her 4 years ago in a wheelchair, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm not, could tread lightly, Sam, tread lightly. Bush looks like he's kind of incapacitated. I don't know what to tell you. I've seen him in public. The man don't look good. But apparently he touched her in a sexually inappropriate way. Ah, really? Here's what she wrote. Again, whoa, I turned the page. Okay, here we go. I was working on... Okay, yeah, I was promoting a historical television show while I was working on... He sexually assaulted me while I was posing for a similar photo. He didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind his wheelchair with his wife, Barbara Bush, by his side. I'm just going to throw this out there. Is it possible that George H.W. Bush's hand that was laying limp kind of off the side of his wheelchair, which just kind of grazed her thigh accidentally? Could it be possible that this 90-year-old man had the shakes? Could it be possible that you are a totally crazy-ass liberal who thinks that you are... Well, there I'm going to get in trouble. Crazy, crazy liberal who thinks that, you know, that you just don't like Bush and think, taking everything. I don't know. Anyway, there's actually been a response from the Bush camp. I'll get into that after the break. Got to go to the news. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is my email. I do check that throughout the program. So email me. And if it's a pithy thought or something that that needs to be addressed, I will talk about it on the air. Going back just one brief minute here to the allegations against George H.W. Bush, former president of the United States, who 4 years ago is being accused of sexually assaulting, quote unquote, an actress by the name of Heather Lynch. She made these allegations on her Instagram account with a little hashtag Me Too. You know, I okay. And by the way, Bush has responded. Yeah, he said he did. This just came up. He said, yeah, he responded. What did he say? He said, look, he's very sorry if it caused any distress. Let's see what he says. What President Bush would never under any circumstances intentionally cause anyone distress. And he most sincerely apologizes if his attempt at humor offended Ms. Lind. So he cracked a joke. The old man cracked a joke. And by the way, he's in a wheelchair. He's not looking too good. But it brings up a bigger point than just Bush and Heather Lind and even Me Too, which is that millennials and Lind, what's her name? She's 83. So what is the, how old does that make her? 34? Millennials are ill-equipped at life because of one big lie that they're told, and that is that their feelings matter. You know, the courts, I'll tell you, this is where pretend life that you know, now schools and colleges provide kids actually kind of you know, smacks right into the real world. When it comes to your perception of offense in the real world and in the legal world, no one cares. It's the difference. Let's say the courts call this the difference between the subjective standard and the objective standard. And basically what that means is I'm reading between the lines here. She's saying, look, I was sexually assaulted. It sounds like to me that his hand grazed her thigh and that he cracked a joke. See, that's not a sexual assault. And it's not a sexual assault because you thought it was. See the difference? The community, but that's a subjective standard. That's your subjective interpretation of what happened. What'll matter if you decided to file charges against the former president, Heather, what would matter is what a group of reasonable people in the community would think. That's the objective standard. So you have to convince regular people that, yeah, what happened to you really just amounts to sexual assault and meets the definition of whatever the law is. See how that gets a little bit tricky? See, I know this happens all the time. People think that because their feelings were hurt, that what you did was wrong or potentially even illegal or tortious. The problem is that what happens if you're just really just way too sensitive? And what I think right now is happening with all this Me Too nonsense, just to really get back on my soapbox. I was already on it before, but I'm getting back on it even to a higher soapbox. I think there's a lot of attention seeking stuff going on right now. And the trouble with that is that it buries, or I would say dilutes, the serious accusations, the legitimate accusations out there. Cause I have absolutely no doubt that legitimate sexual harassment exists. No doubt. And worse. But I think everybody wants a little piece of this. And by the way, everyone I know, everybody who has left their house at some point in their lives has been the recipient of an unwanted come on, has had someone, you know, ask them out one too many times, show a little bit more interest than you want, have it be awkward. I mean, that's normal. It's uncomfortable, yes, but it's normal. So this line, I think, is just getting drawn to one extreme, and it's because we're taught that your feelings matter above all else, even logic. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. What do you get when you call attorney Sweet James Bergner? Well, besides getting a lawyer with a beard and a cape. No, just kidding. I mean, he's got the beard, doesn't have the cape, but not literally, but maybe figuratively, because he will help you save the day. If you're facing a problem with an injury, an accident, or talking to the insurance company or some scumbag who should pay you, but, you know, isn't. Call attorney Sweet James because he's going to help you through it. He is going to make sure that you get the justice that you deserve. And when you call him, you get a real live person. You get somebody that cares. You get somebody that will have compassion for you and will take the fight straight to the guy or people or women or animals that need to be made to pay. All right. What else do you need to know? It's easy. It's so painless. You just make a phone call. It's 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee, okay? You don't pay anything until James settles your case. Any phone calls with him, any consultations are free. So it's super easy, super relaxed, and you'll walk away from it having a sense of security about your future. So 1-800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back behind the microphone here, deep behind the orange curtain in our Sweet James studios on the right side of the orange curtain. Let me repeat that as many times as I possibly can. Totally butchering that as I am getting myself back onto political track after talking about Sweet James. Sorry about that. Let me go back. There's been some interesting reactions in the press to Jeff Flake's retirement party today that he threw for himself. Party of one on the floor of the U.S. Senate. We were talking about it earlier in the hour. If you missed it, please get the podcast. It's I think it's with some good insights. But at any rate, you had Wolf Blitzer today, my favorite CNN honcho. He had everybody and anybody that he could find on the Republican side to slam Trump and to side with Corker and to side with Flake. So he pulls up. This is fascinating to me because it completely backfired. OK, so he brought in Senator James Risch, who is a senator from a Republican from Idaho. And he's considered kind of a moderate right Republican. And he also is very good friends with Bob Corker. He's another one of the old guys in the Senate. So I think the way it was lining up is Blitzer was hoping he would get Risch to side with his good friend Corker. And it just backfired. Have a listen to this exchange.
Senator Corker, who's a friend of yours, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, he said today world leaders are very aware that much of what he says, the president, is untrue.
That's Bob Corker's view of it. And Bob Corker's a good friend and has been a really
How
good
painful
senator.
Is it for you to see your good friends, Corker, Flake, both of them good friends of yours, get into this very, very nasty
it's backfiring.
Fight with the president?
Very painful. I've been, as you know, I've run 33 times for public office. I've done this all my life. Our party has a robust internal discussions and disputes. Most of the time they're private. When they become public, it's always hurtful. And you hope they could get it back into a situation where they could sit down and resolve the issues between themselves.
Yeah, but the funniest thing here is for all the talk of Trump destroying decorum, for debasing a culture, who's the one that picked the fight against Trump? It was Flake and Corker from the get-go and McCain. They were the ones who, from the beginning of Trump's even interest, even preceding Trump entering into the race, were crapping all over him. Yeah, and that, I think, is one of the most fascinating stories, this kind of ancillary developments here as this thing has been unfolding, is everybody saying, oh, this is news. This is news. Flake just went on the floor of the Senate and let Trump have it from both barrels. Flake has been saying this nonsense for months, for years. From the beginnings of Trump's campaign, he's been an anti-Trumpist. This isn't new. And I love how diplomatic Risch was, but he just shut down Blitzy like lickety-split. I got another great clip. I'll play it next. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
I actually feel bad for CNN sometimes. I mean, again, they've got a narrative. They've got a narrative, and they're desperately trying to find facts to fit the narrative. Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Okay, as part of that narrative today, Trump's the bad guy responsible for ousting a moderate member of the U.S. Senate, a reasonable, sentient, thoughtful, kind-hearted, and absolutely unprincipled politician named Jeff Flake. Okay, so on Wolf Blitzer, he has on James Risch, Republican Idaho, another senator, a fellow senator of Mr. Flake's. And he's hoping, he's just asking him question after question, Blitzy is. He's asking the senator over and over again things that would hopefully could be used as a soundbite to impeach Trump with. You know, not impeach him literally, but to throw shade at him, I think is what the young people say these days. So You're trying to talk about the president lying, you know, because, by the way, CNN was really hot on Obama's trail when he was lying left and right. Just kidding. Ha ha ha. Gotcha. Okay. So here's Senator James Risch getting asked about his responsibility for what he needs to do as a senator, right? As a powerful senator, when the president lies.
But when he lies about something and you know it's a lie, shouldn't you speak up?
That's your job.
But that's your job. You're a United States senator. You're an equal branch of the, a co-equal branch of the U.S. government.
Wolf, if I went around criticizing a statement that was made by the president or any one of my Senate fellow senators or any one of my or any one of the congressmen up here or people in Idaho who hold public office, and I stood up and talked every time they talked and said, I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm criticizing, I'd be busy all day
senator
long.
Bingo. And it's not productive. And this is why you've got McCain, who is criticizing Trump left and right. He's going on speaking tours. He's going to Europe. He's going to foreign countries, criticizing our president. He's so consumed with Trump hate. And yet, when it comes to agenda items that the American people care about, like repealing Obamacare, he won't do it. He won't do it out of spite. What a clown. These people are real clowns. And he's getting, you call out the president for lying. No, Wolf, that's your job as a journalist. It's not my job as a senator. Go climb a tree. You know, they're all over Trump on everything. Now, the CNN is so consumed by fact-checking the president. They're calling themselves now, what is it, the most accurate news source or some? So they got some new ridiculous, total false advertising. This is a great clip about the standing ovation tally. And first, Risch explains, the senator explains how the lunch that the senators had today with Obama, with President Trump, excuse me, they went to the White House and had a really nice lunch. And Wolf Blitzy can't leave that alone, so he has to start asking about how many standing ovations Trump actually got. Listen to this.
All this you're seeing today is so different than the lunch that we had. It was very lighthearted. It was very sincere. The president did about a 30-minute monologue talking about the greatest hits and talking about what we have to do in the future. He answered about 10 questions. It was a discussion about policy that really needed to happen. And it was an incredibly a pleasant experience. There was none of this bickering.
Were there multiple standing ovations for the president?
What?
There were. Define multiple.
Well, the president says there were. Let me put it up on the screen. I'll show you what the president is tweeting about the luncheon there. You see it.
Okay.
So nice being with Republican senators today. Multiple standing ovations. Most are great people who want big tax cuts and success for the U.S. Question.
All true.
There multiple standing ovations?
All true.
How many?
I can't answer that, but there were enough that I'm not sure exactly how many there
because
were.
Because you hesitated.
But there were multiple.
You hesitated.
You hesitated.
You heard the tweet from the president.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me for a count on it, but there were a number of them.
This is journalism in America today. This investigative journalism, this kind of journalistic prowess has never hitherto been seen. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. Regular time, back at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, full 2 hours. Of uninterrupted Sam Nation hot sniggity goodness. Over and out.